Pastor Tim recently preached about the genealogy of Jesus. I'm going to approach this from a little different angle this morning. So I'd like to start out in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In the beginning, the Word echoes the opening phrase of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John will soon identify this Word as Jesus. But here he locates Jesus' existence in the eternity past with God. God's Word is effective. God speaks and things come into being, and by speech He relates personally in His people. And the Word was with God indicates interpersonal relationship with God. But then, "and the Word was God" affirms this Word was the same God who created the universe. In the beginning, here are the building blocks that go into the doctrine of the Trinity. One true God consists of more than one person. They relate to each other, and they have always existed. Now we need a witness to this. "And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and to his own people, but did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to welcome children of God, who are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he comes after me, ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, at this time of year, we celebrate the birth of Christ. It gives us joy to do so. We read in Scripture about how this happens and the goings on. the blessings, the hard times. And so let us today study your word, think about what this season truly means. It's the season of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. There we have it, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. I personally don't know a lot about how the spirit world of God works. I don't suspect any of us really do. I just know that the accounting of this is in the Bible, and so that makes it so. This scripture says to me, the all-knowing, ever-present, and all-powerful one God existing in three persons for all of eternity. Much later in history, we would come to know the Word as Jesus. And then God said, let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas and let the birds multiply on earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kind, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kind. And everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God said, God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. The spoken word of God, Jesus in the Spirit. There was a time when thoughts of the universe and things going on really concerned me. I just couldn't understand how the stars, planets, black holes, explosions, and everything surrounding planet Earth kept missing us and us missing them. I mean, what could go wrong here? But the Son of God was there at the beginning of creation. The spoken word of God created the earth, heavens, and all that is on it and in it. We would come to know the word as Jesus Christ. The spirit world of God and the universe are so enormous and so vast that mankind can only understand a tiny bit of it. We only understand what God wants us to. God's gift of knowledge to develop spacecraft and telescopes to explore the heavens is breathtaking. It can be very scary or very soothing when we come to understand that God is in control. It goes from scary to soothing. I can't let this opportunity pass without speaking about the Big Bang crowd. They have developed their own take on creation. I suspect when you make something from nothing, as God has, I would guess there was a lot of banging going on. To me, it would sound more like the most beautiful symphony of music that we could ever imagine. The train wreck that the Darwin folks want us to believe, with lowly one-cell amoeba walking out of the sea to become elephants. Come on. Maybe politicians, I don't know. Jesus has always been with us from the beginning. And the creation story gives me great comfort. It was when I became a believer and understood that our sovereign triune God was in control. The scary universe became heaven. The asteroids, black holes, explosion, and whirling planets are like God's playground. And of course, now we have another story as recorded in Matthew and Luke, the story of the Son of God, the Word, who became flesh and lived among us. This story does not start out well. It is 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Nazareth to Bethlehem. I have to ask the men in the audience, have they ever traveled 90 miles with a very pregnant woman riding a donkey? No hands. If the answer is yes, come forward. I'll turn the podium over to you. Not only that, your betrothed got pregnant, and it wasn't you. The Holy Spirit will perform this great miracle so that Mary will become pregnant without having sexual relations with a man. Jesus' holiness derives from his being conceived by the Holy Spirit. Though Jesus was a genuine human being, he did not inherit a sinful nature and disposition from Adam, as all other human beings do. Confusion and hardships were everywhere. They were making this journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, so that the Romans could tax them. Once arriving there was no place for them to stay except in the stable. Camping out with large barnyard animals would be very challenging. Giving birth under such conditions would be very, very difficult. This is Mary's first child. Perhaps the innkeeper's wife helped her. I don't know. If Joseph was like most men, we would be of no help and would be asked to leave. Once born, the babe would be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. It seems that swaddling clothes were used by the shepherds to protect newborn lambs who had no blemish so that they could be sacrificed. Does that sound familiar? The mangers were often sandstone rocks that were carved out for a manger. This is a rough beginning. Jesus became flesh as a babe to humbly serve as a sacrifice to cover mankind's sin, our sin. The shepherds are camped out with their flocks. Can you imagine laying around a campfire when angels appear singing glory, glory in the highest and in peace among those whom he is pleased? I'd be halfway back to Nazareth before the angels caught up with me. Angels have a way of settling a body, though. Thank God for them. They appeared to Joseph, helping him to understand Mary's pregnancy, and also to Mary to help her understand her role. The wise man came following a star. They are Gentiles from the east who want to worship the newborn king. Herod finds out and wants to know the where and the who of this child. The wise men take a different route home, not telling Herod. Herod then takes to killing innocents as to protect his sick little world. Does that sound familiar? Why do we read and tell these stories? As Christians, we have a deep love for our Savior Jesus Christ. Reading and talking about God gives us peace, joy, and happiness. Knowing that Jesus was there in the beginning and came in the flesh to die for our sins is the most grandiose gift ever. There's nothing sweeter, nothing more soothing to the soul than this gift of mercy and grace. You all know this Christian story well. I'd like to give another account by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2. And it says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in accord of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind amongst yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equally with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." This, my dear friends, is humility. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will, and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of light, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul instructs the local church to be united in love and humility and looking out for the interest of others. The second most precious gift is having a local church like Crossroads to worship Jesus with brothers and sisters like you. We are small in numbers, but big in hearts, full of love. We're not perfect. We have blemishes and scars. And some of us have a catch in our giddy-ups. I wish you all a happy and a God-filled Christmas with your families and friends. And that gives me much joy. May God bless and keep you. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we do live in a time of uncertainties. But knowing that you have been there for us all along, from the beginning to the present, can soothe our hearts, can give us courage and strength for us to do the right things. So as we go about this time, worshiping you and loving you and loving our neighbors, please help us that we would know your will and know what it is that places you. In Jesus' name, amen.